You know, since Mother's Day, each opportunity that I've had to stand before you, we've attempted to preach a series of sermons that we've entitled Focus on the Family. And that is exactly what we've been trying to do so far, is preach some messages that deal with the fabric of our families. In our first message there, we started with mothers and Proverbs 31, as we consider the topic of who can find a virtuous woman. And, you know, in that message, we found that a virtuous woman is not a dime a dozen, as the world would like to say, you know, as we go out, well, you know, they're a dime a dozen. But truly, a virtuous woman is worth her weight in gold. She is a precious entity and should be treated that way as well. Along the way in this series, we've looked at the relationships of grown children as they have married, as they enter into that relationship with their spouse. We looked at that relationship, especially considering the nature of in-laws, by looking into the life of Naomi and Ruth, which is truly a wonderful lesson at how in-laws and daughter-in-laws and son-in-laws and mother-in-laws and father-in-laws and all those things can work out for good. Ruth is a wonderful example of how those relationships should take place as children leave their parents' house and cleave to one another. And last time we looked at the subject of except the Lord builds a house, those that labor in vain, as we begin to look at the things in the house that needs to be established and how we need to focus upon Christ and build the house upon Christ. You know, the family starts with the mom and dad as they come together, and as they intertwine with Christ, it makes a relationship that is hard to tear down. This morning, as it is Father's Day, we do want to look into the subject of fathers. And I want you to understand, you know, as I bring these messages, you know, I understand that, yes, we start on Mother's Day and we're ending here kind of on Father's Day. But you know what? I'm not preaching these messages just to kind of go along with the world or to be a kind of cake and fluff type of messages, because they've not been that way. They've been a challenge to us. And certainly this message is a challenge to us as well, a challenge as we often get off track. You know, I sincerely believe that as your pastor that I should preach all the doctrine in the Word of God. I believe that I should preach and present the gospel on every opportunity that I have to do that. But we should also have instruction for the saints that are here as they come from week to week. Because the truth is, brothers and sisters, the church here at Grace will never be at its fullest potential until the home is at its fullest potential. You see, the church is made up of families, right? And until we get it right in the family, this family is not going to be right either. So, today we want to look at the person of the Father. The Father, because He is to be the head of the household. He is to be a leader in the household. And He is to be a leader that is truly worth following. If you would, I would like for you to turn in your Bibles over to Proverbs in chapter 20. Proverbs in chapter 20. It's going to be easy for you to follow along today. We're going to stick right here in Proverbs for the most part. Proverbs in chapter 20. And I'm going to begin reading verse number 6. In verse number 6, it says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man, who can find? You know, as we looked into the subject of mothers there to begin with, and you know, as we look in Proverbs, we really have that whole last chapter to look at the subject of the virtuous woman. And you know, we don't necessarily have a whole devoted chapter towards that in Proverbs for the man. But, you know, as we began that study and we looked at the question, who can find the virtuous woman? You know what? I was also drawn to this chapter and drawn to this question. Because, you know, if we were to repeat this phrase, so to say, you know, as we look into this, You know, the phrase in today's vernacular, we would say, well, who can find what? A faithful man. Who can find a faithful man? You know, that's a phrase that's been running through my head for the last, well, over a month now. Why? Because not only am I a man, but I'm also a husband. And not only am I just a husband, but I'm also a father. So as I read the Word of God and meditate upon the Word of God, I have to ask myself this question on multiple levels. Are you, John Fry, a faithful man? Are you a faithful man? Is there room for improvement in your life? Well, the answer is yeah, there's room for improvement. The truth is, here today, if you're a man, you need to ask yourself the same question. You might say, well, I'm not married. I don't have children. This doesn't apply to me. No, it still does. If you're young and unmarried, you know, someday you're going to grow up and you're going to probably marry. You'll probably have children. And listen, God desires you to be a faithful Christian man that leads his family. You need to know these things. The young ladies that listen, you know, that might not be married, but you know, you need to know what the marks of a faithful man truly are. That way, when you go out and you follow after some fellow, you need to evaluate, is this the kind of man that fits the bill or not? And if he's not, you need to get rid of him. You might cry now because you've lost him, but you'll cry a whole lot more later if you have him, if he's not a faithful man. So what are the marks of a faithful man? Well, you know what? We find them throughout the Word of God. But you know what? Today I'm going to focus just really in this book, in this chapter, Proverbs chapter 20. Because as you look at verse number 6 here, you know, it's not written apart, you know, to stand on its own necessarily, but it relates to what's in the chapter. It relates from what's before it and really what's after it. So I'm going to stick here in this chapter, and we're going to find some marks of a faithful man, and certainly you can add others as you look into the whole Word of God. But we're going to start here in verse number 1. Now I want you to notice here, it says, wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Now that may seem like a strange place to start off in a discussion of the marks of a faithful man, to begin with a verse like that. But it's more appropriate than you think. Though alcohol abuse certainly can occur in either one of the sexes, it is more than twice and almost three times as likely to occur in males. Alcohol abuse is costly on the American family, and it is costly to this country. The abuse of alcohol costs this country $200 billion a year. That's just this nation. Families are often under great stress, mental stress, because of alcoholism in the family, and the non-alcoholic family members often try to strive to protect the reputation of the one who is the alcoholic, trying to make excuses for their behavior or trying to blow off behavior as things that it's not, often lying about sicknesses. Alcoholism never affects just one person. It never does. It affects everyone that is around them. Studies have actually shown that the absentee rate in non-alcoholic family members is 10 times greater than the families of those where there is no chronic alcoholic dependence. And then, of course, there is the dangerous side of alcoholism, and I'm not talking about just the side effects of things like cirrhosis and things like that, but the danger to those around. It is estimated that alcohol abuse accounts for more than 50% of domestic violence reports. And then, of course, we know the danger that comes with driving as well. And I imagine nearly everyone in this room has known somebody whose life has been ever affected because of drinking and driving. Truly, Solomon was right. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Right now, more than half of America has a family member struggling with alcoholism. So, is alcohol a problem in households today? The answer is yes. And with a statistic like that, when you start calling out 50% of homes, can it be a problem in churches? Sure can. It sure can. As a pastor, I've been counseled more than once over these issues. Now here's the kicker. In one study recently done on alcohol and heroin addicts, one thing was true in almost every case of current addicts. You know what it was? The absence of a father. The absence of a father. Brothers and sisters, that tells me how great an influence the father has on his children. It's great. It's great to say the least. You know, children model themselves after their father's walk. That is the nature. That is how God made them. You can see even on a physical nature, you know, as chiropractor, you know, one of the things that we do is we watch how people walk. We examine how people walk. And you know what? You can see a father walk across the room and you can see his children follow after. And you'll see they have the same gait pattern. Why? Because they're psychologically attracted to following the walk of their father. That's just the nature of man. Now again, here our verse says, whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. You know, not long ago, Sarah, Austin, and I, we were having lunch together in a restaurant there close to home, and they were blaring country music over the radio. And I'll be honest with you, I don't listen to much country music. I don't really listen to much music other than Christian music. But, you know, as they were playing the songs there, I told Austin, I said, you know, I said, all these songs are revolving around one thing. It's getting drunk and having a good time. That's what they seem to all have in common. And, you know, that's the message. Live it up and drink till you drop. On the TV commercials, you know, you see for alcohol, you know, they show you that people that are always good looking, right, seem to be having the greatest time in life. If by chance they show a whiskey commercial, they always show someone who is usually dressed very, very nicely, very appropriate, very successful. Why? Because successful people tend to drink a lot of whiskey, I guess. I don't know. That's the message they want to show. You know, on the commercials, they never show what they look like. They never really show the beer bellies. They never really show the stumbling alcoholics. They never show the morning hangovers. They never show the winos, right? No, they portray a beautiful image. They portray that kind of person that you would love to be, right? But don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Be wise. Be temperate in all things. And remember that little eyes are watching you at all times. And they are eager to repeat your behavior. The old motto of do as I say and not as I do just doesn't truly cut it. Scripture says in Ephesians 5:18, you know well, be not drunk with wine, where is an excess. But be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Listen, I am not about to tell you that any consumption of alcohol is a sin. You know what? Because I cannot go that far, because Scripture does not go that far. If that were the case, then Jesus would be a sinner, because, after all, He did make that water into wine. He did institute the Lord's Supper with it. He was called a wine bibber because he came eating and drinking, as opposed to John the Baptist, who did not. But the Bible warns against the lure of alcohol. It warns against the abuse of alcohol. And it speaks against drunkenness. The faithful man will not abuse. The faithful man will lead his family soberly and righteously. A faithful man will be filled with the Spirit. Now let's read on in verse number 2. The fear of a king is as a roaring of a lion. Whoso provoketh him to anger sinneth against his own soul. You know what this verse is doing? It's speaking about government. Folks, did you know that a faithful man is one that respects those who have authority over them? A faithful man is one who respects authority. He is one who respects the law. The Bible teaches us that we are to pray for those that have rule over us. The Bible teaches us that we are to submit to those that have rule over us. Why? Because the king's heart is where? It's in the Lord's hands. The heart of the king is still in the Lord's hands. God put him there for a purpose. We don't always understand that purpose. I'm sure that Israel didn't quite understand the purpose when God turned Israel over to Nebuchadnezzar, destroyed the temple, but God was in control then. God's in control now. You know, when elections come, we should vote for whomever we believe is the godliest man to fulfill the job. It should be our desire to have as many Christians in government as possible, when possible. But remember, whomever is elected, God is still in control. Stop complaining. Let God do His work. And pray for those that have leadership over us. Pray that the Lord might be glorified in their leading. And let your family hear your prayers. And again, it's not just about being subject to the powers and praying to them, but it's about being submissive to the laws of the land as well. As a husband and as a father, does your family see a law-abiding citizen? Or do they see a father who walks in as many shades of gray as possible? Do they see one who is trying to steal the cable or the electric? How about, you know, we just went to Disney. You know, there's a big difference in the price of one who's 10 and one who's 11. Do you tell the truth? Goes along with it. If you don't, then what kind of message is it sending? It says, you know what, as long as we don't get caught, it's okay. That's the message you send to your children. Listen, we're not above the law, but we are subject to the law. A faithful man is one who needs to be faithful in submitting himself to the laws of the land and to the elected officials. And again, let's read verse number 3. It is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. Let's look at the first part of that first. It is an honor for a man to cease from strife. A faithful man that leads his family well is not a man of strife or anger. He is a peacemaker in life, and he is a peacemaker in the home. There is absolutely nothing that is worse than being in the home of one that is a raging father. A father that is always yelling at the wife, a father that is always yelling at the children, are not the marks of a faithful man. I can remember when I was a child and being asked to go spend time over at friends' house and go to spend the night with them and going over there, and a couple of instances being in homes where as soon as the dad came home, the yelling began. And you'd pretty much just hide out in the bedroom. And the house was in fear. I was in fear. Certainly didn't want to make me go back, and I know that they had to live with that day in and day out, and certainly the lasting effects that that would have on someone. You know, the Bible teaches us in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. It says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." You know what, when I was a child, I used to think, you know, if I got into trouble or something and my parents whipped me or something, that and it made me angry that my parents had sinned because they had provoked me to wrath, provoked me to anger. Well, you know what, that's not what that verse is talking about. Not at all. But how do you provoke a child to wrath? Be a wrathful person yourself. Instruct them in that way. You know, when you're angry and yell at your family all the time, they're going to repeat the same behavior. That's all they're going to know. Quick fuses beget quick fuses. That's the way it works. Again, the father is to be a peacemaker in the home. It is a mark of a faithful man. But again, that attitude of a peacemaker needs to go outside the home as well. You know, it seems like some men in life are just looking for a fight, ready to fight at the drop of a hat and drop the hat to get into the fight. You know what I'm saying? You've been around people like that? A wise man, though, a faithful man, is one who will cease from strife. Our verse here in Proverbs again goes on to say that every fool will be meddling. What is that? To meddle. What means sticking your nose someplace where it doesn't belong, right? You know, much of the time when people go around meddling, it's for the purpose of nothing more than to stir up strife. It's for to promote your own character and to bring others down. You all have undoubtedly experienced that sometime in your life. Listen, God is not in that behavior. God does not desire us to be a meddling type of people. It's not the mark of a faithful man. Again, let's keep reading here in our chapter in verse number 4. It says, "The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg in the harvest and have nothing." In Israel, the time for preparing the fields is actually in the fall. We all do that in spring here, but there they do it in the fall. This is the time that the plowing is done. And if one does not prepare in the coolness of the year, then they will not have food when it comes time in the spring. Simply put here, this is a man who refuses to work, a man who refuses to provide a true way for his family to survive. You know what? In God's Word, He has promised to provide for our needs. He has promised to do a lot of things for us. But listen, folks, God expects you to do your part. That's what He expects of us. You know, even when God provided the manna to the Israelites on a daily basis, what did they have to do? They had to get out every morning and go and gather it. The women had to take that manna, they had to crush it up, grind it up, fix it up into the food that they had. There's work involved in that. You know, even when God placed Adam and Eve there in paradise, as Brother Greg was talking about this morning, it says over in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15, "And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to what? To dress it and keep it." You see, even man in his most perfected state was given a job by God to dress and to keep the garden. By the way, you wonder if we'll just be sitting around for a millennial to come? I don't think so. God will have a job for you to do. You know what? I mean, even as you think about, as Adam and Eve were kicked out of the garden and God placed a curse upon them, the curse was what? So that Adam would have to work harder, right? He'd have to toil by the sweat of his brows and thorns and thistles and all those things. You know, it is a clear principle from the Word of God from the very first of creation that man should work. Now, we understand that sometimes because of illness, because of age, that a person can't work. We understand that. But that's not the kind of person that we have here. In this scripture, we have one who is unwilling to work. He is lazy. He will not work. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10 speaks of that same kind of man. It says over there, "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat." Men, it is your responsibility to provide a living for you and your family. Doesn't mean that, you know, you're going to have the highest house on the hill and all the pleasures of man, but you need to provide for your family as best you can. I know that many women work today. I'm not against women working when they need to do that, and I always want you to understand that. But it is the duty of a faithful man to work and to provide for his family. Today, we got a lot of husbands and fathers who seemingly have no interest in working at all. None. In the meantime, the wife is working all day long and come home and work all night long to provide for her family. That is not the mark of a faithful man. A faithful man is one who will labor in season and out of season to provide for his family. Let's keep reading. Verse number 5. "Counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out." What we have here is a verse about wisdom. A faithful man of the Lord will seek out wisdom. Where does one find wisdom? Right here, in the Word of God. He searches out the Word of God to find knowledge, to find wisdom. Here are the words that makes one wise unto salvation. Here in this book, we have example after example of men who were faithful to the Word of God and the blessings that they received on earth. Here in the Word of God, we find men who were unfaithful to the Word of God, and we find the consequences of those things. It is a book of instruction. A book to help us to walk in the straight and narrow. It is through the words of this book that man is able to put life in perspective. Matter of fact, if you go and read this book, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, these books of wisdom written by Solomon, you'll find so many words of instruction in life to keep us in the right perspective. It is through the reading of this book that we understand that God's Word has the answer for everything. For everything. Sure, situations may seem like they've never been before, but situations have always been just that, situations. The answers are in the Word of God. It may have been written thousands of years ago in many cases, but it is wisdom to guide your family by and to guide them by well. And then we get back to verse number 6 here, our text verse, but this time we want to take a look in particular at the first part. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6, it says, "Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness." You know, a faithful man like that, which Solomon is describing here, is not one who brags upon all the things that he has done in life. By nature, man is a boastful person. By nature, we like to know just exactly how great we are at doing something. A faithful man, though, is truly humble in his heart. He understands that if he has anything at all, it is because God has blessed him with it. Our jobs, our homes, our cars, our clothing, everything that we have is because God has ultimately given them to us. You know, as you've heard me say, hopefully on many occasions now, If you're going to be boastful about something in life, be boastful about Jesus Christ and the work that He's done on Calvary's cross. It's the only thing that we have to boast about. Verse number 7, I want to go ahead and look at this verse here too. It says, "The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him." You see, this verse, I believe, follows right along with the question of a faithful man. You see, a faithful man is a man who will indeed walk with integrity. And a lot is implied in that little word, integrity. Matter of fact, I believe we could preach really just a whole sermon around that word. Integrity speaks of one who walks in the ways of righteousness, one who desires to walk into the straight and narrow way, avoiding the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Integrity speaks of one who is true to his wife, true to his children, and is true to God. A man of integrity is a man that others will trust in. They know when he says something that his actions will back it up. A man of integrity is one who is honest in all things. And Scripture says here, because of his integrity, his children are blessed. His children are blessed because of the faithfulness of their father to walk in integrity. Blessed to have an example to follow after. Blessed because they don't have to be ashamed that my dad's an alcoholic. Blessed because they don't have to be ashamed that my dad's not running around. Blessed because my dad's not in jail. Blessed because his dad's doing what he should be doing. Right? Today is Father's Day. You know what? If you have a faithful father, if you had a faithful father, one who walked in faithfulness and integrity, such a precious gift was given to you. If they're still alive, make sure to tell them how much you love them, how much you appreciate them, because it truly was one of the greatest gifts that was ever given to you in life. Now we're going to end there this morning. Brother Randy, if you'll come and lead us in song. Sister, if you'll come and play for us. If the Lord has spoken to you in any way today, shown you any need that you have in your life, do you know Christ today? Do you know Him as your Savior? Have you ever been to Calvary's Mountain? I pray that you have. If you haven't, you have questions. If you know and see the sin in your life and know that you need a Savior, come and speak to us so we might talk with you. Let's all stand as we sing.